The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
It's in John chapter 5, and we're going to look at this man and the idea of what he expects is going to happen. So we're going to read the full text, and then we're going to kind of jump back in and look at different parts of it as we go through. It says, later on, there was another festival of the Jews. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Near the sheep gate in Jerusalem is a pool called Bethesda in Hebrew. It had five colonnades, and under these, a large number of sick people were lying, blind, lame, and paralyzed, waiting for the movement of the water. At a certain time, an angel of the Lord would go down into the pool, stir up the water, and whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was healed from whatever disease he had. On one particular day, there was a man who had been ill for 38 years. And when he saw Jesus laying there, when Jesus saw him laying there, he knew he had already been there a long time. And so he asked, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I do not have anyone to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get there, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." The man immediately became well. He picked up his mat and started to walk. Now that was the day of the Sabbath. So the Jewish leaders told the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to carry your mat." But he said to him, "The man told me to pick up my mat and walk." And they asked him, "Who is the man that told you this, to pick up your mat and walk?" But the one who had been healed did not know it was Jesus, because he slipped away from the crowd in that place. Later on, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, "Look, you've become well. Stop sinning, or something worse will happen to you." Now, the couple things about this story that just kind of like stood out to me, and we're going to just kind of look at this story real quick and move on. But I want to ask you today, what do you expect? What do you want? What do you expect out of life? Goals. That was a great topic. Aiden, youth, you guys, man. Goals. We all set goals. How many of you guys have a goal as an adult? Okay. All right. Yeah, we have goals. We have things that we want to get to. We want to see. And we like it when everything goes the way we expect it to go. That's why we set goals, is because we want to reach this. We want to get to that point. We want to figure this out. And so today I want to ask you, though, what do you expect from your relationship with God? Every one of you got up this morning. Thank you for doing that. Some of you guys brushed your hair. Some of you brushed your teeth. Thank you for doing that. Some of you guys got your cup of coffee. Thank you so much for doing that. But you got in your car. You came here. You walked through the doors. You sat down in a pew. Why? Did anybody come here today I'm bored. It's Sunday morning. I've got nothing else to do. I'm just going to go see what's going on at church. I kind of think not. If you're that bored, I would love to know. But I think that most of you, you're busy. You have lots of stuff going on in life. You've got different things, and you've got a lot going on. And so you made a conscious choice to come to church today for some reason. Now, you may not be able to put your finger on it. You may not be able to say, "Oh, I came because of this. I came because of that." But you came here expecting something, didn't you? You came in today, and you have an expectation. Now, some expectations are real low. I want to see what the preacher's wife's wearing. Is she going to have that baby with her? That's what I want to see the baby. I just want to see the baby. That's all I want to see. Some of your expectations were low. I want to see if so-and-so is here. I want to see if they're here. I want to see this. I want to see that. Some of you have higher expectations. You walked through the doors of that church today. You came in, you sat down, and you are broken and crumbling on the inside. And you said, "God, I got nothing left. But I'm going to show up and I'm going to see what you'll do." So this man is who we're going to look at. And I think we see some things in our life and in his life that we can kind of compare and get together on. The first thing I noticed about this guy was he was in a good place to receive a miracle, wasn't he? You go back and you read verses 1-4. It says that he was in Jerusalem, which is the holy city. He was near the temple. What these colonnades were they were giant porches near this pool. And so what would happen is an angel of the Lord, and what that is, I'm not sure, but it would come and it would stir the water. It would kind of make the water churn up. And then the first person to step into that water would be miraculously healed. So this guy who'd been lame for 38 years was in a good spot. Where, if I'm a lame person, if I'm sick, where do I need to be? Home, the hospital, right? Yeah, someplace where I can get better. And so, like, he's in a good spot. He's where the miracles take place. But there's a couple things about this that are also interesting. He was in the right spot and he knew what he needed, but unfortunately, just being in the right spot doesn't do everything for you, does it? Isn't that true for some of y'all in life? I'm in church. I'm this, I'm that. I'm in the right spot, but nothing about life seems to get any better. Your relationship with God doesn't grow any. You don't walk closer with him. You don't have a love that just grows and desires, and you're just like figuring faith out. A lot of us are in the right spot, but just being in the right spot doesn't do anything a lot of times. This guy was in the right spot, but that's just not enough. He was in a good spot to see a miracle. I wonder this morning if some of us are in the right spot, but we're not even really looking for God to do a miracle in our life. If God wanted to, some of us aren't even in the right spot. Some of us are making zero effort. We know we've got nothing going for us. We know we're lost. We know we're over here, and we're not even in the right spot. And if God wanted to do something, if God wanted to show up and intervene in your life and save you through grace, if God wanted to do something and heal you from sickness, if God wanted to show up in your life and do anything at all, you have kept him at arm's distance for so long, and probably you've kept him at arm's distance for so long, not because of anything God's done, but because of something that Christians have done, which is a totally different sermon for a totally different day. But a lot of us this morning aren't even in the right spot. And so we can't ever receive a miracle. We can never receive what God's best is. We can never receive what God has for us because we're not even in the right spot. The second thing that strikes me about this guy is the simple question and a simple answer. I have an overactive imagination. I love my imagination, but I can like picture this all playing out. The man's sitting by this pool and Jesus walks up to him and asks probably the most simple question. And I know, listen, any teachers, educators, anybody ever used this phrase before? There are no bad questions. Yeah, but there's some silly questions. And I think this is a silly question. Jesus asked him, do you want to get well? Nope. Just going to sit here by the pool, catch some sun rays while I can't move. He asked such a silly, simple question of do you want to get made well? And the guy responds with the most simple, basic answer he could think of. I do, but I can't get in the water. Every time I try, somebody beats me. I've got nobody to pick me up, to put me in. And so, yes, I want to get well. That's a very simple question. And my very simple answer is absolutely, I want to get well. But I can't get to the water on my own, and somebody always beats me. The hard thing about simple questions and simple answers is that sometimes it limits us. For many of us, we want things, but we only see simple possibilities. See, this man, he wanted to be made well, right? Yes, Jesus, I want to be healed. I want to be healed. I want to be healed. I'm in the right spot. I want this so bad. But every time that the water stirs, I can't get there on my own. And that's the only way I know to get healed is if somebody picks me up and puts me in the pool. I think when Jesus asked him, with this man's possible, like in his conceivable, like best laid plans was, is, hey, listen, if you really want to help me, will you stay with me? And when that water stirred, will you just help me stand and put me in the pool? And then you can go your way and I can be healed and life can be great again. And I think when Jesus asked him that, that's what the man's asking Jesus to do for him. Hey, just stay with me. And when the water stirred, put me in it. I think that the bad thing again about this is a lot of us just see our own conception. And we take God out of it. Simple possibilities leads to only what we can conceive, and therefore we limit what we can achieve based off of what we can conceive. This creates a watered-down life. The next phrase is so interesting to me, too. Jesus tells the man to get up and walk. His response to a simply difficult command. What makes this command so difficult, though? This is a simply difficult, and just, again, picture this with me. 38 years. This guy is laid lame for 38 years. You don't think in over 38 years, at some point in time, he didn't try it. Hey, man, I wonder if today is the day. I wonder if something happened last night. Maybe I slept in a different way and everything that's wrong with me got fixed. And so today when I wake up, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to walk. And he tried and nothing happened. I wonder if when that water stirred and all of a sudden he started trying to crawl with his elbows to get to the pool just to get in and he saw somebody else coming down, if he didn't say, no, man, I've got to get to him. I've got to beat this guy. And he tried to stand up and he couldn't. There was nothing working about his legs. He was lame. He had no hope, no even conceivable way of walking or being made well. But I guarantee you over 38 years that he tried every single thing he could think of. Anybody ever, you guys maybe like two, I don't know, the movie Luca, it was a Disney movie. It's about a fish boy who like, he gets, yeah. All right, thank you. Yeah, awesome. The Myro right there. He gets legs. He's a fish and he gets legs. And so he's learning to walk. And that clip is so funny to me because I guarantee you that was this guy. He tried everything he could think of, and he did everything he could even conceive to possibly walk. And so this guy comes up and says, pick up your mat and walk. He said, you don't understand, I've tried that before. It hurts. It's embarrassing. Man, all the people around, they laugh at me when I fall. I want to get up and walk. I just want you to put me in the pool when the water stirs. No, listen, get up and walk. That takes faith. That takes some kind of belief that something's changed. And everything about my past has told me that nothing's going to change. And so, no, I'm not going to get up and walk. I'm going to sit right here by this pool and wait for something to happen. And that's where this verse hits me. Because that's my story right there. I base everything I do off of what I've experienced over 38 years. Everything is based off of that. And what I do is I take this simply request of get up and walk. And it becomes so difficult to me because I have to put aside, I have to put behind me, I have to let go of everything I've experienced over 38 years. All the failures, all the times I tried to walk on my own, all the times I tried to do this, I tried to be healed, I tried to do this, I tried to figure things out, and I failed and I failed and I failed. I have to put all that aside and say, all right, God, this time's different because of you. And that's tough. And that's why this is such a simply difficult command to follow. But we're told the man does it with great success. He stands up immediately. He picks up his mat. He walks. And the story ends. But it doesn't. Because there are two different things that happen here. First, he meets the religious leaders. The religious leaders, they can't conceive of why this man's carrying his mat. Now, just for humor me, lame guy, sat here for 38 years, not a single one of these religious leaders have ever helped him in the pool when the waters were stirred. And they get mad because he's carrying a mat. You missed the whole miracle. I'm walking, guys. I'm walking. My legs are working. Forget the mat. I can move. Pay attention to what God's doing here. And they're like, no, wait. You've got a mat. You can't have a mat and carry it on a Sabbath day. They miss the whole miracle because of their own self-righteousness. Man, I think what's worse for us a lot of times in our life is missing what God wants to do because of our own self-righteousness. We like to look at other people and we don't do this, but other Christians, you know, I know, do this. God does something great in somebody's life. And instead of saying, praise God, that's awesome. I never thought you would be in church. We look at him and say, yeah, I remember you. Yep. And I'm going to hold on to everything I remember about you. So I'm going to just hold on to it because I know you. Instead of seeing the fact that God's doing something great in this person's life. And rejoicing with them and growing with them and encouraging them together, we sit back and say, not a mat on the Sabbath. No, God. I'm not going to miss that miracle. There's also this really intriguing verse to me. And probably Wednesday night we're going to spend a lot of time talking about verse 14. I'm just going to go ahead and give you a heads up. Verse 14, I'm going to read it again because this one stuck with me for in a weird way. Later on, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, look, you've become well. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. What is worse than being lame for 38 years? This guy has experienced the bottom of the barrel, hopelessly sat in the same spot, lonely, helpless, and miserable for 38 years. What is worse than that? What could Jesus be saying is worse than 38 years of hopelessness? I think what's worse than 38 years of hopelessness is living an unmoving, helpless, inactive life. And being hopeless for eternity. See, what Jesus tells this man is, listen, go sin no more. In other words, we never find that this man had faith. We never find that this man believed, that he did the ABCs, that he got baptized, that he filled out a church membership card. None of that's said about this guy at all. But Jesus tells him, go and sin no more. And what he's offering him is, listen, you know what the bottom of the barrel feels like. But what I'm telling you is that imagine that for the rest of your life. That's what life without God is like. You're hopeless, you're unmoving, and you're helpless. This morning, I wonder how many of us are here and we miss what God's doing because of three different things. And I'm going to finish with this. It's simply too difficult. God, I want to start reading my Bible more. God, listen, I want to go to church more. God, I want my kids to be raised in church. God, I want my family to know about you. God, I want this, I want that. But it's early on Sunday morning. God, I want to do that, but I want to tithe, but man, sometimes there's more month than there is paycheck, and I don't know. It's just too difficult. You're going to walk in here today. You're going to sit through a church service. You're going to walk out those doors and you're going to refuse to let God do anything in your life because it's simply too difficult. The second reason I think you're going to miss something is because you're too self-righteous. Listen, God's doing some really cool stuff in our church. Really cool stuff in our church. Miss Bonnie and I have a great time. I love Monday mornings with Miss Bonnie. We sit down in the office and we talk about all the things that God's doing. And God's doing some awesome stuff in our church. He wants you to be a part of what he's doing here. Some of you are too self-righteous, though. You've got your way, and you're figuring out all your stuff. And so anything that comes in that's different or not what you want to do can't be good, can't be right. And so you're going to sit back and judge everything else that goes on in other people's lives and miss the miracle that God's doing all around you. The last reason, I think, is because of this. We'd rather remain helpless. Whether it's because of embarrassment, because of shame, because of fear of failure. Can you imagine that guy? sitting in the colonnade, sitting in the porch. Jesus walks up and goes, hey, do you want to be healed? Yeah, man, I do. It's been a long time, Jesus. I've sat like this for so many years. And if I could get to the pool before somebody else, then I could be healed. Jesus says, all right, pick up your mat and walk. No, I didn't say that, Jesus. I said, if you can help me get in the pool. No, get up and walk. No, but listen, I can't. I just, today is not the day. Next time you come through, maybe I'll do it, but not today. So that man would sit lifeless, helpless, and inactive simply because he refused to dream about what could life be like when God's introduced into the picture. Some of you have kept God out of every part of your life. You've put up walls, you've put up barriers, and you've said, nope, you can't do this, can't do this, can't do this, can't do this. This morning, I want you to know that what God is offering you is available. He wants to radically change your life. This morning, I'm just wondering if you would rather remain helpless than see the miracle that God has for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for this time in this service where we get to come and we get to worship you. But God, I pray that you also would just speak to our hearts this morning. Father, I don't know who came in here today expecting great things. I don't know if people came in here today expecting nothing. But God, I know that you brought people here today because you wanted to do something in their life that only you could do in a remarkable way. And Father, you wanted to change us from the inside out. So Lord, my prayer is that you would take your word, you would plant it deep into our hearts this morning, and Father, that we would realize the opportunity that's before us, and we would let nothing stand in the way of seeing you do miraculous things in our life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.